Filling your prescription for freedom and giving you a voice every week. This is Armed American Radio, coming to you from the Crossbreed Holster Studios. Now, here's Mark Walters.
Stop number two on the 2016 Armed American Radio Tour is live today from the Sarasota Herald Tribune headquarters in gorgeous downtown Sarasota, Florida, if you've never been. I love being home. Florida is home to me. Tampa right up the road, to be exact. So a huge thank you to the Herald Tribune, and in particular my good friend Lee, the gun writer Williams, who sits to my right, who will be hosting, co-hosting, from the Crossbreed Holster Studios here in the Tribune headquarters with me for the remainder of this broadcast. Lee's mic'd up here, will be joining me momentarily as co-host of the entire broadcast. A couple things we need to discuss before we get cracking with a terrible topic, but a great lineup to address it for you. I'd also like to take this opportunity to welcome our newest affiliate. Armed American Radio is welcoming AM 880 The Biz, WZAB in Miami, right down the interstate from us here in Sarasota. 880 The Biz, your doctor has written you a three-hour weekly dose of freedom here on the Armed American Radio Network, and another prescription for a five-day-a-week dose of freedom for the Armed American Radio Daily Defense Program, airing every night right there in Miami. Welcome to the Armed American Radio Network Nation, my friends. Great to be here with you. Today, Armed American Radio mourns the huge loss. Today, Armed American Radio and America mourns the huge loss, the incalculable loss of Justice Antonin Scalia, as our political analyst A.W.R. Hawkins referred to him, the conservative bulwark, defensive wall he was. On the Supreme Court bench since 1986, Reagan appointee and the longest-serving justice on the current court. Also, the most important to us as freedom lovers and protectors of our sacred Second Amendment rights. Today, we, through the lens of our common agenda, that being the right to bear arms, we mourn this devastating loss of the man who gave us these words regarding our Second Amendment freedoms. And I quote, "Nowhere else in the Constitution does a right attributed to the people refer to anything other than an individual right. The people refers to all members of the political community, not an unspecified subset." He continues, "We start, therefore, with a strong presumption that the Second Amendment right is exercised individually and belongs to all Americans. The most natural reading of keep arms in the Second Amendment is to have weapons. The term was applied then, as now, to weapons that were not specifically designed for military use and were not employed in a military capacity." More on that in just a few. Again, from Scalia. "There are a few examples of which favor viewing the right to keep arms as an individual right unconnected with militia service. Keep arms was simply a common way of referring to possessing arms for militiamen and everyone else. At the time of the founding, as now, to bear meant to carry. When used with arms, however, the term has a meaning that refers to carrying for a particular purpose, confrontation." Scalia also said, "Although the phrase implies that the carrying of the weapon is for purpose of offensive or defensive action, it in no way connotes participation in a structured military organization." Where have we heard that argument before? "If bear arms means, as the petitioners and the dissent think, the carrying of arms only for military purposes, one simply cannot add for the purpose of killing game. The right to carry arms in the militia for the purpose of killing game is worthy of the Mad Hatter, some wit," from Justice Scalia. "Putting all of these textual elements together, we find that they guarantee the individual right to possess and carry weapons in case of confrontation. There seems to us, no doubt, on the basis of both text and history, that the Second Amendment conferred an individual right to keep and bear arms. That history showed that the way tyrants had eliminated a militia consisting of all the able-bodied men was not by banning the militia, but simply by taking away the people's arms, enabling a select militia or standing army to suppress political opponents. During the 1788 ratification debates, the fear that the federal government would disarm the people in order to impose rule through a standing army or select militia was pervasive in anti-federalist rhetoric." Scalia also says, "Our interpretation is confirmed by analogous arms-bearing rights in state constitutions that preceded and immediately followed adoption of the Second Amendment, something we don't talk enough about, quite frankly. Scalia says, "It is dubious to rely on the drafting history to interpret a text that was widely understood to codify a pre-existing right, rather than to fashion a new one." As we will show, virtually all interpreters of the Second Amendment in the century after its enactment interpreted the amendment as we do. The 19th century cases that interpreted the Second Amendment universally support an individual right unconnected to militia service. And this one here, because we all know, as listeners of Armed American Radio and as members of the same community, gun control has its roots in racism. Take a listen to what Scalia said. "Blacks were routinely disarmed by Southern states after the Civil War. Those who opposed these injustices frequently stated that they infringed blacks' constitutional right to keep and bear arms. Needless to say, the claim was not that blacks were being prohibited from carrying arms in an organized state militia." Sounds like a checkmate to me, doesn't it? "Every late 19th century legal scholar that we have read interpreted the Second Amendment to secure an individual right unconnected with militia service." Scalia also says, "It was plainly the understanding in the post-Civil War Congress that the Second Amendment protected an individual right to use arms for self-defense." More importantly, he says, "Undoubtedly, to think that the Second Amendment is outmoded in a society where our standing army is the pride of our nation, where well-trained police forces provide personal security, and where gun violence is a serious problem, that is perhaps debatable. But what is not debatable is that it is not the role of this court to pronounce the Second Amendment extinct." You see, these incredible statements from Scalia's writing of the majority opinion in the famed Heller versus D.C. case, that's where those words came from. Scalia, of course, wrote the majority opinion in Heller versus D.C. in 2008. And for those of you who don't believe that the un-Americans seek to have all guns banned, keep in mind that it was the other side in the Heller case that was fervently arguing that D.C.'s gun ban was in fact constitutional, and they were fighting to keep that ban in place. So the next time you hear Obama say, "We don't want to take away your guns," you know he's lying to your face. We will be discussing the passing of Justice Scalia and what it means for all freedom-loving Americans through the lens of the Second Amendment only today. Next, from the Sarasota Herald Tribune, Crossbreed Holster Studios, I'll introduce my co-host for the entire show. And we'll bring our first guest, Alan Gottlieb, founder of the Second Amendment Foundation, one of America's greatest freedom fighters, a man who has helped fund every major Second Amendment case in recent history, for crying out loud. Lee, welcome to the program. It's a pleasure and an honor to be here. Thanks for having me here at Sarasota Herald Tribune, my friend.
We are so honored that you could come down here and join us, Mark. I just wish it had been a better occasion.
You know, you and I were together yesterday when that news came down. In fact, I had just landed here in Sarasota. We stepped outside to the little tiki hut to grab something to drink and get something to eat. We've got some members in the audience here live shaking their heads because they met us here later today. What was the mood the moment we found out?
First, disbelief, and then it was worry, incredible reaction, worry how this is going to affect our Second Amendment rights and the effect that it could have, what the Senate will do. I guess there's a lot of unease right now.
My first call, who did I call immediately upon notification? Who did I call?
You called Alan. It's a question whether the phone even rang. He picked it up so quick.
He picked it up. It didn't ring. I didn't hear it ring, and his first response to me was, "I know."
Yeah.
I know. Sadly, I don't want it to appear that we're politicizing the man's death.
Right.
However, the other side will, and the other side is. Harry Reid is out running his mouth already, calling for confirmation, immediate confirmation of an appointee. There's now talk of recess appointments because both the Senate and the House are in agreed upon recess. The underhanded tactics from the un-Americans, the gun grabbers, the free, and I should tell Miami listeners, shouldn't I?
Yeah.
What do I define as an un-American? That sounds fairly harsh to somebody who might not know me. Let me explain to you what an un-American is. Here in America, we have the right to disagree with each other. We have the ability to do that. We've been doing it for centuries. I have the right to love guns. You have the right to hate guns. I have the right to try to fix you because I think you're stupid. You have the right to try to fix me because you can't understand my right. Notice I didn't say they think I'm stupid. And at the end of the day, if we can't agree, we're left with not being able to agree. And that's American. We can still go out and have a beer together and eat a hot dog and watch a baseball game. However, when you cross that line and try to take that right from me because you don't like it, that's un-American. As un-American as if I tried to tell you I didn't like you reading Huck Finn because I was too stupid to see the literary genius behind it and I thought it was racist. You have a right to read Huck Finn. We're talking about the Bill of Rights, which, by the way, include 10 amendments, not 9, the way the un-Americans want it. When we come back, Alan Gottlieb will discuss the impact of Scalia's passing in great detail and what it means for all of us as freedom-loving Americans here on the Armed American Radio Network. Back live from Sarasota right after this. You and I both know concealed carry is a serious subject, and being prepared to protect your family when it matters most means more than just being a good shot at the range. And that's why 135,000 of your fellow responsibly armed Americans already read Concealed Carry Magazine from cover to cover, including my columns. A subscription to Concealed Carry Magazine isn't just an entire year of unbiased gun and gear reviews. It's so much more. It's real stories from real people who carry concealed every single day, just like you and I. It's life-saving information that'll keep you up to date and prepared. And most importantly, it'll help you be ready and confident to protect your family if you're ever faced with a life or death situation. Begin your subscription today, and not only will you be looking forward to a full year of America's number one publication for responsibly armed citizens, but you'll also automatically be entered to win one of four brand new guns. But this offer won't last long, so go to oneofourguns.com. That's the number one and the number four, oneofourguns.com, to activate your subscription and claim your chance to win your dream gun. Again, that's oneofourguns.com.
The revolutionary Crossbreed Super Tuck holster is the most comfortable and concealable inside the waistband holster you'll ever wear, and nothing even comes close. Designed to completely conceal a firearm of any size and made to be worn with any attire, from shorts and a t-shirt to a suit and a tie. Based on your personal carry style, the Super Tuck may be worn comfortably with or without your shirt tucked in. Find out why the Crossbreed Super Tuck is the most often imitated but never duplicated holster design in the world. Visit CrossbreedHolsters.com today.
From Crossbreed Holsters comes the Women's Appendix. With softer leather and smoother corners, the Women's Appendix holster was designed specifically with the female body in mind. This holster is intended for popular small firearms and has no cant, so it can be worn on the front side of the body. Featuring a Crossbreed hand-molded pocket for a perfect fit, we ensure the Women's Appendix is your answer for any woman who wants to carry a small firearm in a front position. This versatile holster can be worn in the standard appendix or cross-draw fashion. Find your perfect fit today at CrossbreedHolsters.com.
Hillary Clinton plans on riding into the White House on the backs of women, but this won't be the first time she used women to get ahead. Her Clinton Foundation pays key women 63 cents for every dollar key men make. Men also make up her top 8 highest paid employees, and she paid her female Senate staff 28% less than men made.
Say that again.
Her Clinton Foundation pays key women 63 cents for every dollar key men make. Men also make up her top 8 highest paid employees, and she paid her female Senate staff 28% less than men made. If you're a woman, don't pay attention to what Hillary Clinton says. Pay attention to what she pays. Put an end to Hillary's war on women.
Say that again.
Put an end to Hillary's war on women.
Paid for by Ameripac. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
I'm just as good as these guys. When will I get my chance to prove it?
Your chance is now. American Marksman is a nationwide series of target shooting competitions designed to give you your big break. Think you've got what it takes to take home $50,000? Visit ammarksman.com to register today. That's ammarksman.com. American Marksman, are you the one?
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you. The following segment of Armed American Radio is proudly being sponsored by the Second Amendment Foundation. Join them, won't you, at saf.org.
Welcome back to the Crossbreed Holster Studios, the remote Crossbreed Holster Studios. The Armed American Radio 2016 tour is now well underway. This is our second stop. First stop would have been Vegas at SHOT Show, where we ran four of the five Armed American Radio's daily defenses live from the floor of the SHOT Show there with Crossbreed Holster folks. Great time that was. Now we are at the headquarters of the Sarasota Herald Tribune, where I'm joined by my guest, great friend, also Lee the Gun Writer Williams. Lee, how you doing?
Good. Doing really well.
Take your paw there.
Absolutely.
As we can. We're not on phone calls now, separated by hundreds of miles in cold weather versus palm trees and not cold weather. So I digress. I do that every week. We've got Alan Gottlieb on the phone. We were talking at the break, the depressing news we got yesterday afternoon. Alan, welcome to the show, my friend, the founder of the Second Amendment Foundation. Are you feeling any better today?
I can't say that I am, but it's good to be with you and Lee. You know, it's nice to be with like-minded people and friends when crisis has hit, and I think we have a crisis on our hands. You know, I had hoped that there would be at least one day of mourning after the loss of the legal giant and the Second Amendment hero. Unfortunately, President Obama and the Senate Democrats are already politicizing the sad day by pledging to take quick action to fill the vacancy down the Supreme Court. You know, if Obama believes that he can appoint a gun prohibitionist to the seat on the court without a fight from gun rights activists across the country, he's sorely mistaken. An appointment of this magnitude is too important to be left to a lame duck president who has no respect for the Second Amendment, which is why the Senate Majority Leader McConnell and the Judiciary Committee Chairman Grassley have already poured cold water on President Obama's plans.
Alan, let me ask you this. You brought up segments that we could literally take through the remainder of the hour, I think, in just that opening statement, that answer. Let me start with this. The immediate politicization of this by Obama when he got off the golf course. You and I spoke yesterday when we first found out about this, and you and I didn't want to politicize this during our discussion here on the program today. But we both knew, didn't we? In fact, we talked about it, that the other side was going to do that. They didn't disappoint, did they?
No, they did it even quicker than I thought they would, to be honest with you. I mean, I was hoping we could sit here and talk about Anthony Scalia and what a brilliant scholar he was, and not only how he understood the Constitution, but how he brought clarity to possibly the most important issue of our time, Second Amendment rights. You know, I was lucky. I had the honor and privilege to have met Justice Scalia and found him to be a man of strong ethics and intellect and really great character. I was honored and had the pleasure to spend a day with him in Nuremberg, Germany, when he came to accept an award from the World Forum for the Future of Sports Shooting Activities. And then what's sort of like the SHOT Show here in the United States is called in EWA. It's the trade show for firearms industry in Europe. I got a chance to spend a day with him going through the gun show, so to speak. And it was like watching, a kid in a candy store, and he was just so great to be with for the whole day. And I guess this is something I probably haven't shared with anybody on the air. I've talked to a few people about it privately, but that was the day, in fact, that the appeals court in Washington, D.C. ruled against the city of D.C. and knocked down the D.C. gun ban. And both Scalia and I knew that it was going to be, you know, headed to the Supreme Court. The city of D.C. was going to appeal it. So we didn't talk directly about the case itself, because it would have been like sort of a conflict. But he did say something to me that was very encouraging to me at the time. And that was to me, Alan, you know, it takes four votes on the Supreme Court to hear a case, and it takes five to win it. If I don't think we have the five to win it, there won't be four to hear it. And that just really made me feel like I knew at that point in time that if the Supreme Court took the D.C. Heller case, that we were going to win it.
So you felt good going in. That's very rare to have that type of insight, Alan. Lee, you're shaking your head. Yes, not many people have that inside knowledge.
Well, and to be with him when the Court of Appeals ruled, that's just stunning. I mean, that is fortuitous. On the aside, you remember at the gun show with Justice Scalia, what type of product caught his eye? I just would like to know.
Well, there were an awful lot of expensive, highly engraved shotguns by various manufacturers that sometimes you don't see here in the United States. And that really intrigued him the most. The second thing was is a lot of the hunting clothing. You know, at the SHOT Show here in the United States, you don't get some of the upscale clothing that hunters wear in Europe. And there were things there that he'd never seen before, and he was really just... And the great part about this was going around the show, nobody knew who he was because we were in Europe, and they, you know, they weren't familiar with the U.S., you know, Justice of the Supreme Court. So he could walk around with me, and nobody realized who it was. It was great.
Alan, more people knew who you were than they knew who he was. Isn't that true?
I don't want to say that. he's such a great man. I mean, he's such a fierce defender of the Constitution. You know, he really adhered to its original meaning. I just found him to be really warm, charming. He's humorous. He had a great wit. He was deeply loved in this country and had an unshakable belief in the rule of law. Unfortunately, you know, right now we've now lost our pro-gun rights majority rule on the Supreme Court. And at best we can hope now for cases going up, they'd be 4-4, which wouldn't set any precedents or wouldn't overturn, basically, any United States Court of Appeals rulings. And unfortunately, a lot of those Court of Appeals at these days are in control by Obama appointees. So we're going into some really scary times.
All right. You had just mentioned something that we have talked about together on this program over the years, Alan, and that is the makeup of the Supreme Court and the importance of elections and the fact that elections have significant consequences. And a lot of people tend to overlook the consequences of Supreme Court appointees, don't they, Alan?
They do, and I'm sort of praying that the legacy that Justice Scalia really leaves us now is going to be one where gun owners are going to realize how important those appointments to the court are going to really turn out in more than record numbers come November. And come November, we'll make sure that we gain the Supreme Court majority for gun rights back.
That is assuming, Lee, that the United States Senate, Mitch McConnell, and the rest of them do, in fact, Alan, what they said they were going to do. And quite frankly, they haven't left me with a real good feeling lately. They've said a lot of things after the 14 midterms, and none of it has come true. Do you happen to believe at this stage that McConnell is going to stick to his guns, pun intended?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm not sure how sincere McConnell was with the statement he made that they wouldn't take an Obama an appointee between now and the next president. However, he does have a problem, and this could be why he said it. You know, there is something called the filibuster in the Senate, and you need 60 votes to be able to act and vote on a nominee. And the truth of the matter is, while a few Republicans, you know, may flake, I don't think you're going to get that many of them flaking. So I think he's in a position as majority leader by making that statement. He knows if he didn't make that statement, there wouldn't be a nominee anyway because of a filibuster. So I'm hoping that's the case. And considering I'm looking at the voting records of members of the United States Senate, I think there's a very, very good chance that that would be the case. Now, Obama's going to play chess back, and he's going to try to maybe nominate somebody who isn't known as much as an anti-gun extremist or a gun prohibitionist or somebody who's just like Kagan on the court and Sotomayor. But they'll go to the United States Senate and lie and say they support the Second Amendment and then vote against it when they get there. He's going to probably have to put somebody in like that, not who he'd really like to try and put on. But my guess is that if he leads with somebody who's known, you know, if he nominate Eric Holder, he'll surely be shot down.
He absolutely would. Alan, we want to stop you there because we're taking a break. When we come back, I want to ask you about recess appointments. This is making the news today. Alan Gottlieb here from the Sarasota Herald Tribune. Armed American Radio continues right after this.
We need every American to take action against President Obama's next executive order by calling the number on your screen. President Obama is exercising another executive power grab, and this assault will be against your Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms. The Obama administration was unable to impose gun restrictions and confiscation through the legislative process, so now he's trying to use executive orders to go around Congress and the Constitution. Obama must be stopped now. If Obama follows through with his executive fiat now, it will lead to the loss of our Second Amendment rights by the time he leaves office. We need you to call 800-782-8685 or go to saf.org/stopobama if you believe we must stop Obama's lawless actions. Second Amendment Foundation is going to stand up to Obama, but we need you to call now and give us your opinion. Please call 1-800-782-8685 or go to saf.org/stopobama. If enough Americans stand up, we will amplify your voice and stop Obama from another assault on our Constitution.
I don't think I need to tell you this, but I'm going to anyway. When it comes to concealed carry, a smart shooter is a prepared shooter. And going to the range and shooting at a target just isn't enough. While training is important, you need something more. And that's why 135,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry magazine. To pick up where training at the range leaves off, expect life-saving information on every page, every issue. Whether it's unbiased gun and gear reviews or real stories of self-defense, from real people who carry concealed every day. You'll stay up to date on the latest training drills and laws regarding your right to carry your firearm. And for a limited time, when you start your subscription, you'll automatically be entered to win one of four brand new guns. But this won't last long. So go to the number one of the number four guns.com right now to begin your subscription and claim your chance to win your dream gun. That's one of four guns.com.
Hi everybody, Mark Walters here. Folks, whether you carry a gun already or are even considering it, and this is very serious business, one of the most important steps that you can take is to join the nation's number one resource for the armed citizen, the United States Concealed Carry Association, the USCCA. They sponsor the show. You know who they are. Folks, now is the time to learn how to protect yourself, your family, your property, and your business with a concealed weapon, because you never know when you may need to. The USCCA is designed specifically for those of us who have chosen to take our personal defense very seriously. I've put together special membership offers for the Armed American Radio listeners, you, at jointheuscca.com. That's jointheuscca.com. Now is the time to join the USCCA and take advantage of the incredible resources available only at the USCCA. That's jointheuscca.com. These are troubling times in America, folks. Become a member today.
I don't think I need to tell you this, but I'm going to anyway. When it comes to concealed carry, a smart shooter is a prepared shooter. And going to the range and shooting at a target just isn't enough. While training is important, you need something more. And that's why 135,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry magazine. To pick up where training at the range leaves off, expect life-saving information on every page, every issue. Whether it's unbiased gun and gear reviews or real stories of self-defense, from real people who carry concealed every day. You'll stay up to date on the latest training drills and laws regarding your right to carry your firearm. And for a limited time, when you start your subscription, you'll automatically be entered to win one of four brand new guns. But this won't last long. So go to the number one of the number four guns.com right now to begin your subscription and claim your chance to win your dream gun. That's one of four guns.com.
This is Armed American Radio, filling your prescription for freedom every week and giving you a voice. Heard coast to coast on the Armed American Radio Network. Here again is Mark Walters.
Yeah, the Crossbreed Holster Studios. I got to tell you, the Crossbreed Holster Studios have moved today down about 50 miles, right?
Right.
About 50 miles from my home in Tampa, Florida.
We can make this permanent.
We could make this permanent. I know a lot of people are listening right now that have probably just rolled their eyes and don't want to meet you now because of that, but that's okay. We can get past that. That's just, I'm just funning with you there. But we're here for the second stop of the 2016 Armed American Radio Tour, and I can promise you that we're going to be in many places across the country coming up as the year progresses, from coast to coast, literally from Florida to Washington and New England. I don't think we're going to do the New England thing, you know.
Yeah.
You never know. We might get up in the belly of the beast. We've been invited up to Jersey.
Oh, be careful.
Yeah, we've been invited up there and California as well. So welcome back to the program. 880 AM, The Biz, Miami, Florida. It's great to be on the air with you. Your doctor has filled your prescription. Finally, 6 days a week, we get to annoy a liberal gun grabber in Miami. And there are a lot of liberal gun grabbers. If you're listening, You know who you are. So we're going to be here to annoy you. That's my job. I get paid to do it. Let's go back to Alan Gottlieb. Lee, you had a question. We were talking. Sometimes the best radio is the radio the listener never gets to hear, and that's the stuff we talk about during the breaks. Let's bring it to him. What was your question for Alan?
Alan, the quotes that Mark read earlier from Heller were just some of the best legal writing ever. In your opinion, sir, how important is the Heller decision? What are we looking at here if that's taken down?
Well, the Heller decision is monumental. I mean, without the Heller decision, in fairness, we would not have had the McDonald decision. And while Heller took out the D.C. gun ban, it would only be applied to the federal government and none of the states or cities. But you couldn't have got to the McDonald decision knocking down Chicago's ban without Heller first. And so it's the first block in the pyramid or a foundation to support our rights, which opened up the door to McDonald, which, of course, opened up the floodgates to, you know, significant numbers of lawsuits against cities and states all across our country. Heller was monumental. And, of course, then again, in the McDonald decision, all the quotes in it were basically Scalia's quotes. While he didn't write the opinion, it had to go back to Heller and quoted all everything Mark basically just said. So, yeah, he is the champion of the Second Amendment, and we lost our champion, and it hurts.
Alan, the Heller decision is you know, I know Dick Heller well. I'm very well aware of the personal fight that went on in the many decades that Dick Heller, from the inception of the idea to move forward to the conclusion of the case, and he's a great man. I'm just curious, has anybody heard, I haven't seen any statements from him. Have you, has Dick Heller actually said anything yet that you're aware of?
I haven't seen anything, but I don't really want to take anything away from Dick Heller. But he also was only one of a number of plaintiffs that brought that suit.
Right.
And his name was just, named as the lead plaintiff. They all deserve the credit. Sometimes in all of our lawsuits, even the McDonald's suit, you know, one person's name is out front, but there's a lot of people that put their names on the line. And so there's an awful lot of people that are involved in these cases, and I don't really want to forget any of the other plaintiffs in both in Heller or McDonald or any of the other key ones. They all played a very important role, and while their name isn't mentioned about as much, they all deserve an awful lot of credit.
Yeah, they definitely do. I haven't heard anything from any of the plaintiffs in the case yet. We'll keep our eyes peeled for that, and I'll, of course, be reaching out to Dick Heller in the very near future. How at risk is Heller now? Mr. Gottlieb, how at risk is Heller?
Well, I'm not sure that it's totally at risk at this moment. Right now you're looking at, you know, it's a 4-4 tie in that court. Four of those judges don't support Second Amendment rights at all. I mean, they vote in favor of gun prohibition. So we have a standoff right now. Whoever this next judge is going to be extremely important. And, of course, then what it's going to be, will they take a case or not? You know, the four judges who rule against us all the time don't want a case to go to the court. Now, all of a sudden, they're probably salivating and drooling to try to get a case there. It shows us it's all by ruled by man, not necessarily ruled by law. So that's why it's really important that the Senate Judiciary Committee at this point not act in haste and let anybody get a point and nominate a nomination reach the floor of the Senate until at least I think we have a new president. And the American people get to vote on this come November because it's that important. But we have a lot of cases going through the federal courts right now, many at the appeals court level. Like, let me give you just an example. Our Mance case, Mance versus, you know, Holder in the Fifth Circuit, that case struck down the ban on interstate sales of handguns. We won that case at the lower court level. It's at the appeals court level now, and if they ruled in our favor, which I believe they're going to, if the court ruled 4-4 one way or the other, it would be a precedent, and whatever the Fifth Circuit did would stand in the Fifth Circuit. Likewise, we have cases coming out of California where the Ninth Circuit isn't exactly gun-friendly, and we might lose a case, say, on carry coming out of the Ninth Circuit at the appeals court where the cases sit right now. And then again, if the court ruled 4-4, that decision that the right to carry isn't covered by the Second Amendment, example, might hold in the Ninth Circuit. So we'd never set a precedent nationally, but it would allow the appeals courts to basically set, you know, local precedents in their jurisdictions. And so right now, this is I'm on pins and needles right now. This is not a good time.
And this is an uncomfortable question here, but I have to ask it. Is this going to change your tactics as to what cases we now want to advance at SAF or the cases that you support?
I am not going to answer that question publicly on the air because I'm not going to give that answer to our opponents.
Okay, good. Boy, I tell you, it's not a good time. Let me go to recess appointments. Fox News is reporting today, Alan, that there's an 11-day window for Barack Obama constitutionally to make a recess appointment. What can you tell us about that? Is that a threat? And I'd put nothing past this man, absolutely nothing. This man is a freedom hater. Unfortunately, he's salivating, to use your term, at the ability to put another justice in. He wasn't off the golf course moments before he made that public statement that he was going to make an appointment. Is a recess appointment a real possibility right now?
With this president, anything is a real possibility. However, if you were to do it, I think it would guarantee that a Democrat would not win the election come November, and he has to worry about that as well. So I hope there's enough pushback there, and we're going to, obviously I'm going to do everything I can with Bress, who's gun owners all across the country, to make sure that the pushback is there and he knows about it, and we can back him off. Just same way we backed him off on his ammo ban earlier, last year when he tried to ban a lot of, ammunition for AR-15s. We were able to push back. We were able to push back in a couple other areas. And so, we're not going down without a fight on this. I think that would alienate a significant majority of American voters if he went and tried to put us behind the Supreme Court without Senate confirmation.
Lee, I know you have a question. 1 second here with this. He has pushed back against American voters. His entire agenda has been executive action for the most part. This court appointment has the ability, in his mind, to cement his legacy via the Supreme Court in the future. I put nothing past this man, nothing, absolutely nothing. He does not care about the will of the American people. We have seen it time after time after time. Lee, we've got about a minute. Go ahead.
And Alan, has there ever been a recess appointment to the Supreme Court that you're aware of, sir?
Not that I'm aware of. I do not believe that's the case whatsoever. And I'll tell you, if you tried to do that, I believe there would definitely be impeachment hearings on the president. I don't think the United States Senate and the House of Representatives would put up with that. That's really going extra constitutionally to try and pack the court. And I think you would see the biggest blow-up and battle in America. I don't think Obama would win that with the general public.
And you don't think he's going to want to make that move during an election year? When we come back, we're getting ready to take a break, Alan. I have another question relative to an appointment, or maybe not an appointment, but a question as to how the Senate, if there were the threat of that, or they felt there were a threat of that, how they could eliminate that threat in the next 11 days. We'll be back with Alan Gottlieb. This is a fascinating conversation. America is in a very dark place right now regarding the makeup of the U.S. Supreme Court, and the Second Amendment, your rights, hang in the balance. We'll be back from Sarasota Herald Tribune headquarters in Sarasota, Florida, right after this.
As people who carry a gun for protection, you and I both know if we're ever forced to pull that trigger, you know your life will change instantly. Liberal prosecutors, bleeding heart juries, they'd love to make examples of people like you and me. And that's why I rely on the legal and financial backup plan with my membership in the United States Concealed Carry Association, the USCCA. They have a guide that will arm you with 18 proven strategies for effective self-defense, helping you stay out of jail, out of bankruptcy, court and home with your family if you're forced to defend your loved ones with a gun. So if you go to defendfamily.com right now, you can download this free concealed carry guide from my friends at the USCCA. Now, the guide is 100% free, and the 18 strategies it contains could very well save your life. Simply visit defendfamily.com, download your 100% free guide, defendfamily.com. Again, that's defendfamily.com.
I don't think I need to tell you this, but I'm going to anyway. When it comes to concealed carry, a smart shooter is a prepared shooter. And going to the range and shooting at a target just isn't enough. While training is important, you need something more. And that's why 135,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry magazine. To pick up where training at the range leaves off, expect life-saving information on every page, every issue. Whether it's unbiased gun and gear reviews or real stories of self-defense, from real people who carry concealed every day. You'll stay up to date on the latest training drills and laws regarding your right to carry your firearm. And for a limited time, when you start your subscription, you'll automatically be entered to win one of four brand new guns. But this won't last long. So go to the number one of the number four guns.com right now to begin your subscription and claim your chance to win your dream gun. That's one of four guns.com.
The revolutionary Crossbreed Super Tuck holster is the most comfortable and concealable inside the waistband holster you'll ever wear, and nothing even comes close. Designed to completely conceal a firearm of any size and made to be worn with any attire, from shorts and a t-shirt to a suit and a tie. Based on your personal carry style, the Super Tuck may be worn comfortably with or without your shirt tucked in. Find out why the Crossbreed Super Tuck is the most often imitated but never duplicated holster design in the world. Visit crossbreedholsters.com today.
Hi, it's Mark, and I hope you're enjoying this week's broadcast. You know, over the last several weeks, you've heard me mentioning a website, usccaonair.com. We have some amazing sponsors here on this program, and one of them, the United States Concealed Carry Association, helped create this program. Since that time, just like Armed American Radio, the USCCA has exploded in growth to become the nation's number one resource for the responsibly armed citizen. The USCCA has also become famous for their promotions, as if you needed more incentive to join the United States Concealed Carry Association. Free guns, thousands of dollars in merchandise, and free ammunition, etc. to lucky promotion winners. You, too, can win by simply visiting the website usccaonair.com. usccaonair.com. That site is reserved for you as an Armed American Radio listener to keep you updated on their latest promotions. Now, I'll tell you about the promos on every program, but you can still check for yourself by visiting usccaonair.com. Don't miss out. Hi, it's Mark, and I have a plea for help. Gun-hating billionaire Michael Bloomberg is up to his bag of tricks by funding studies designed to fool the American public into thinking your guns cause crime. As expected, the media plays right along. Unfortunately for him, John Lott and the Crime Prevention Research Center does the real research to measure the true impact of guns on crime. But we need your help to do it. Please donate today to help John and the CPRC get the truth out. Visit crimeresearch.org, crimeresearch.org to donate. Crimeresearch.org. Thank you.
This upcoming segment of AAR is sponsored by the USCCA Education and Training Department. For your own toolkit or to become a certified instructor, visit teachuscca.com. That's teachuscca.com.
Welcome back to the Mobile Crossbreed Holster Studios. And I want to tell you, mobile, you might hear a little garble from time to time because we are at a remote location. We are not connected to anything. We're actually Wi-Fi today for this monster broadcast. I love modern technology and being able to talk with you about the right to bear arms for really three straight hours here on the Monster Cast, right, Lee?
Yeah, I'm just still amazed by your radio system. You said it was as big as a football. Your radio station is as big as a football.
That's how we get mobile, and that's why we can do this, and we're looking forward to doing it again. In fact, WGUL AM 860, The Answer, folks, our affiliate in Tampa, in my hometown, are listening and said, you need to be here. So we're going to work on that, too. Jose, I know you're listening, and thanks for the text. We appreciate it. Alan, welcome back to the program, my friend. Because we're in front of a live audience, we have a question from the audience. A gentleman sitting here, we've got him mic'd up. His name is Eric Robinson. Eric has a question for Alan Gottlieb. Eric, go ahead. Welcome to the show, and thanks for coming.
Thank you, Mark. It's very exciting to be here live. I wanted to know if there was any cases moving forward or will be heard by the Supreme Court soon that Scalia leaving the bench is going to impact?
Eric, Alan? Very good question. Yeah, Eric, very good question. There's nothing that the Supreme Court has on its calendar for this particular term that they're working on right this minute. But the next term in October is a possibility. So they will start saying somewhere around in June or so of this year, announcing cases they're going to take for next year. And that's a case where Scalia would have had a say in what cases they take or don't take, which now he won't be able to. So it does affect what might start to happen in October.
Thank you.
Very good. Thanks for asking that question. Great question. That's Eric Robinson, who's in the audience with us today. Alan, I got another question for you. Thanks, my friend. Appreciate it very much. We have another question for you. We've got 11 days, according to a Fox News report, Alan, where technically, from what I understand, a recess appointment would be constitutional, because I think it was Breyer who made the comment in the previous recess appointment that was found to be unconstitutional by Obama, as if he cared because he knew it going in and did it anyway, which is what scares me about Obama over the course of the next 11 days. Lee, you're shaking your head. And that is that he said the Senate was in recess when the Senate said it's in recess, when they say it is. Right now, both the House and the Senate are in agreed-upon recess. Alan, can the Senate reconvene? If there was a threat that he was going to make a recess appointment, and I hear you clearly that you don't think it will happen, but again, I put nothing past this man, and I have to ask the question. Would it be possible, or do you think McConnell would, or could they, call the Senate back to session in order to disrupt that plan?
I believe the Senate majority leader has the right to call them back in session anytime he wants to. So I think there's a way they could do it and stop that. It's just unfortunate we haven't had it tested before, and we do have a liberal Supreme Court justice who ruled against Obama, saying that if they stay there in session, they're in session. So I assume if we can get them to stay there in session, he'd have to take the same position, and Obama would lose again. But this is the reason why that Fox News story was there was solely because of Obama's record in trying to push things through without congressional approval.
Right. Well, Alan, it's because of him pushing things through without congressional approval that scares me so much, because the will of the people don't matter to him. He's shown that time and time again. And we could go to the two egregious cases. The biggest case of all, I think, would be Obamacare, still not supported by the people. And there are many others where he's ruled by executive fiat. So, again, I don't put anything past him. It does concern me. And it's hear you say in today's conversation that you don't think he'll do that. I believe you're right. I believe the political fallout would be so significant that it would, in fact, almost cement, Lee, maybe you agree or disagree, the destruction of the Democrats' plans for the White House in November.
I think it would be the death knell for those plans if he makes an appointment now.
I think
Harry Reid.
If Obama went and did it, his legacy would be dictator-in-chief.
Again, I ask the question, does he care? I don't know that it bothers him.
He's pretty close to that now, especially with the anti-gun executive orders that have been rolling out of there.
Yeah, if he were to try to frame that recess appointment because of the current push for gun control, all of these questions are legitimate. And, I believe he feels right now, Alan, that his legacy can be radically altered to what he wants it to be with a fast appointment. Now, if he's under the illusion that the Senate is going to quickly confirm any one of his appointments, I think the guy is delusional. In fact, I've thought that for a long time. What do you think about that?
Well, I'm sure he's smart enough to know that none of his appointments are getting approved by the Senate quickly under any circumstances. At least that we'd hope so. Now, if there are some judges that are being talked about as possible people that he might, nominate for the Supreme Court, that have been confirmed overwhelmingly and sometimes unanimously by the Senate in the past to get onto courts, federal courts now. If he pushes somebody like that, it makes it a little harder for Republicans in the Senate to vote no against somebody that they already voted yes for to put on the court to start with. That's my biggest concern.
Would he, I don't know how to ask this question, I have to ask this question nicely. Does he have the whatever to appoint Eric Holder? Would he go that route?
Well, I mean, I don't really know what he's going to do, but if you were Obama, knowing that you're not going to get somebody really appointed right out of the box to begin with, why not throw out an Eric Holder, have so that they reject Eric Holder and then force to take your second choice, and so they can cop out and say, well, we rejected his first choice, but we took his second choice, and it was a compromise. He might do something like that. I mean, the problem is right now, we know we have a president that has no respect for the Second Amendment whatsoever. And we know that's the legacy he wanted to leave was his gun control legacy, which we've stopped him so far from really doing. And so, I mean, we're dealing with somebody that you really don't know if common sense or preparatory judgment, if anything is going to make any sense with this guy. We really do not know. And that's why gun owners right now have to be up in arms.
Alan, is there? These are bold questions, and I know they maybe require a bold response. Maybe they require no response. Is our Second Amendment today, the future of our Second Amendment today, literally at stake as it wasn't yesterday? Can we lose our Second Amendment rights because of what happened to Justice Scalia?
Yes, it's possible that we could. Our Second Amendment rights, you know, even yesterday before, you know, the passing of our chief, of our justice, you know, were always up for grabs because you never know what's going to happen in the future. And, you know that, if, you know, anti-gun people would like to, quote-unquote, rip up the Constitution and pretend it doesn't exist to begin with. So gun owners have to remember that while this may crystallize things for us on how tenuous our Second Amendment rights are, no matter what form of Supreme Court rulings we have, they are tenuous, and it can things can change at any time. I always like to say we have ruled by man, not ruled by law. And unfortunately, you know, courts have shown that time and time again. And so we always have to stay eternally vigilant. If, you know, it's a piece of paper. It can't protect us. I'm talking about the Constitution. We have to protect it.
Alan, Supreme Courts, for the most cases, are fairly loath to overturn themselves. However, this one frightens me more than any other. Because of the split, because of the political rhetoric in today's day and age, do you believe that those four justices would, in fact, take another case that could, in fact, or would, or take the case for the specific reason of overturning Heller if it were to make it to the Supreme Court?
Mark Lee, let me answer it this way for you. They don't have to overturn the decision to create havoc with the Second Amendment. All they have to do is sort of ignore
right.
the decision.
That's what I want
All
to
they
hear.
Have to do is ignore the decision. As an example, they take an assault and ban case, and they say, well, that kind of gun isn't covered by the Second Amendment, so we can ban those kinds of guns.
There you go. Alan, thank you very much. We're at the end of the hour. We appreciate it very much. Thank you for being here and educating us. I'm Mark Walters, filling your prescription for freedom from the Sarasota headquarters of the Sarasota Herald Tribune. Carry on, carry often, carry absolutely everywhere. Never leave your cave without your club, and I'll see you in just a minute.
You've been listening to Armed American Radio Network with your host, Mark Walters. Armed American Radio, brought to you each week by the United States Concealed Carry Association. To learn more about Armed American Radio, log on to armedamericanradio.org.
Hi, everybody. Mark Walters here. Folks, whether you carry a gun already or are even considering it, and this is very serious business, one of the most important steps that you can take is to join the nation's number one resource for the armed citizen, the United States Concealed Carry Association, the USCCA. They sponsor the show. You know who they are. Folks, now is the time to learn how to protect yourself, your family, your property, and your business with a concealed weapon, because you never know when you may need to. The USCCA is designed specifically for those of us who have chosen to take our personal defense very seriously. I've put together special membership offers for the Armed American Radio listeners, you, at jointheuscca.com. That's jointheuscca.com. Now is the time to join the USCCA and take advantage of the incredible resources available only at the USCCA. That's jointheuscca.com. These are troubling times in America, folks. Become a member today.
I don't think I need to tell you this, but I'm going to anyway. When it comes to concealed carry, a smart shooter is a prepared shooter. And going to the range and shooting at a target just isn't enough. While training is important, you need something more. And that's why 135,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry magazine. To pick up where training at the range leaves off, expect life-saving information on every page, every issue. Whether it's unbiased gun and gear reviews or real stories of self-defense, from real people who carry concealed every day. You'll stay up to date on the latest training drills and laws regarding your right to carry your firearm. And for a limited time, when you start your subscription, you'll automatically be entered to win one of four brand new guns. But this won't last long. So go to the number one of the number four guns.com right now to begin your subscription and claim your chance to win your dream gun. That's one of four guns.com.